Here's an astonishing fact. Buildings consume an estimated 42% of America's energy. That's more than any other sector. So moving to a more sustainable future compels more energy efficiency in new building construction.
And at the forefront of energy-saving home construction is this movement called passive houses. Passive houses are so airtight, builders say they can be heated with a hairdryer.
I'd like to know what kind. The passive house movement's big in Europe, where energy costs a lot more than here. But there are some passive houses here, although maybe because we're in Seattle, Russ, they're passive-aggressive houses?
No, they are not, Marcy. Last week, I went to visit Seattle's first certified passive house. It was finished last summer. It's a modern three-story home on a skinny lot in the Madison Valley. It was a collaboration between NK Architects, architect Rob Harrison, and the man who built the house for his family to live in.
My name is Sloan Ritchie. I am a builder, a general contractor.
So where is the hairdryer? Because I understand you can heat this house on a hairdryer. Could you show me that?
Yeah, that's upstairs. The idea is that the furnace size is limited to approximately the size of a hairdryer in terms of wattage. So what that really means in practice is you could use a very small furnace to heat the house, or you could cook dinner. If you have a dinner party, it warms the house up pretty nicely.
Now, I can remember hearing about this idea of super insulated houses quite a while ago, maybe 30 years ago. But then in my dim recollection, there were a lot of problems with them. All of a sudden, mold would start to grow.
To your point about the mold, you know, we have ventilation, mechanical ventilation. It's just right next to us here. It runs 24 hours a day. So there's continual fresh air being delivered to the inside of the building.
What makes this a passive house? Maybe you could show me around and demonstrate that.
Sure. One thing is we have a heat recovery vent, and that's this box right here. It's running continuously, and it's bringing in fresh air and filtering it, and then it's delivering it to the house. And at the same time, it's extracting air from the bathrooms and from the kitchen. So in a more conventional house, you would turn on a vent when you're in the bathroom or in the kitchen. In this house, it's just running continuously at a little bit of a lower level.
So show me what else is different about this home.
This is a heat pump hot water heater. It's electric, and it uses the ambient air to heat the water. So it's about twice as efficient as a regular electric hot water heater.
Right. Let's continue the tour, Sloan. Show me what else is special about this house.
Okay, so we're upstairs where we actually have decent southern exposure. So from here, even in the winter, we have sunshine coming through these windows. And this is part of what makes passive house work. These windows are special glass that permits the sun's energy to come inside and then doesn't let the heat get back out. So these windows heat up quite a bit. Yesterday, for example, it was about 50 in the afternoon, and it was sunny all afternoon. I went to the south-facing windows, and I put a thermometer on the glass because I wanted to know, because it feels very warm. And it got well over 100 degrees on the glass. And so effectively, those are big radiant panels or just radiating heat into the house. You can't get windows that perform this well locally or regionally or probably even on the continent that are relatively affordable. So we imported these windows from Lithuania. So that was in contrast to how you normally buy windows for a house. You buy them locally. You get them in 2 weeks. You install them. They're lightweight. These windows, it took 5 months. We needed a crane to install them. Really, the windows are almost the only product that's just odd enough that you can't really get it locally.
What are the other features that make it a passive house?
Building this house required 10 times the level of airtightness that's required by code. So it was about 10 times as much work. Getting every subcontractor to realize they couldn't just poke holes in the building and leave them. We had to seal, you know, everything.
Why did you go to these lengths to do this?
Mostly it's a personal thing. I think that one of the most important challenges of our time is climate change and reducing our overconsumption of, you know, natural resources, which are finite. And in the building sector, we are grossly overconsuming resources that unnecessarily.
If you had built this home not with passive construction, would it have cost a lot less for you to build?
That's a great question. I don't know for sure what the answer is, but I suspect it would have cost maybe 5% less if I just took away the passive house things.
I mean, is part of the reason that it hasn't caught on cost? I mean, if you're going to construct them, are people going to look at the cost and go, I don't want, quite want to go that high because of it?
Cost or fear of cost. I think builders in particular like to do things the way they've always done things and are afraid of change because it's risky and they don't want to try something and then have to come back and fix problems. So there is kind of an industry-wide fear of trying something new. 90% of builders will only build to the code minimum because that's what they're required to do by law. So I think if we don't increase the codes, we'd still be building without insulation. If that were the code minimum, no insulation, that's exactly what every house would have, no insulation. And insulation is cheap. And if your insulation is going to add a couple thousand dollars to the cost of the house and your utility bills go way down, that's a benefit to the homeowner. So I think that it's important for the codes to push builders to build a higher quality product.
That's builder Sloan Ritchie. Building codes are raising the bar on making more energy efficient homes, but some argue it's a mistake to raise them all the way up to passive house standards. Critics say if you raise the standards that high, the additional cost will never be justified by the lifetime energy savings or carbon reductions. If you'd like to learn more, this weekend there's going to be tours of passive houses built in Seattle, including Sloan Ritchie's. You can find out where and when by going to KUOW.org.